May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 88. How wondrous are the works of God, displayed through all the world above. Immensely great, immensely small, yet one strange work exceeds them all. Hymn number 88.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. They took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Let us pray. Eternal, almighty, holy, holy Lord God, save us from drawing near with our lips. Thou knowest every needy heart, every burdened heart, every exercised soul that has come into this house this night. Lord, thou seest us as we are, and how often it is a sad and solemn tale. Deadness, lifelessness, indifference, heart wandering, covetousness, pride, self-interest, worldly-mindedness. How often we come to the sanctuary of Zion, how many of thy people groan within. But, O Lord, there is that stirring up. There is that reviving grace, and we bless thee for it. There is that bringing low. There is that bringing down. O Lord, there is that a trial, there is that rod, there is that chastisement, there is that drawing grace. And, O Lord, we bless thee for it. Thou knowest every soul that has come in, broken, humbled, fearing, trembling, fearful of hypocrisy, trembling at thy word, longing to hear from thee. Longing to hear thy voice, longing for the blessing. O Lord, we are poor, we are needy, but Lord, we cannot hide under that truth. We need grace, we need righteousness, and we cannot attain to it ourselves. And we're made poorer and more needy. We're made to wait on thee, made to look for thee, made to cry to thee. So remember us now, each of us. Thou knowest each of us have come this evening, the motive that has brought us. Yes, Lord, it is the time of the evening service, or as in the old dispensation, the time of the offering. O Lord, we come looking unto Jesus. We would see Jesus. Why? Because we need thee. Oh, we need thee, Lord. We need thy grace. We need thy love. But we bless thee for all thy mercies to us, all the extended, all thy sparing mercies, preservation, protection, safety, not just in the pathway, but O safeties of the Lord. Oh, there is that day of judgment coming. That precious atoning blood. That fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, there is the revelation, the knowledge of thy dying to the soul. Oh, may we feel the covering. May we know the righteousness. May we know the peace, the joy that attends the blessings of Christ. We seek it. We bless thee for it. We thank thee for it. For Lord, yesterday's manna used to go stale and breed worms. And Lord, if we live on the past, our breath becomes corrupt again. It is the freshness of the manna we want, the freshness of the supply. So we come into thy house this night, pleading grace and pleading mercy, confessing all our many sins. Oh, we would desire to confess them unto thee, Lord. For thou, if we are thine, thou hast suffered for them. And we must come unto thee, shall the vow be performed. We come confessing our sins to him that died, in whom we hope died for our sins, and plead that redemption, that forgiveness that is with thee. It is vital to come to thy feet, for there thou hast been crucified. Lord, thou hast been crucified, made atonement for our sins. And unto thee we come, confessing, forsaking that which is not right. O Lord, may we press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us to forget those things which are behind, not to dwell on them, not to think upon them, forsake them. O Lord, help us to pursue the narrow way. Give us that true spirit of repentance. Lord, that spirit of faith. Faith that worketh by love. Faith that has knowledge. Faith that beholds the Lamb, believes and sees and knows the living waters flow. But it is all of thy grace, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Move these cold hearts of ours and warm them, we pray, with heavenly heat. So remember us as we come to Zion this night. Do thou revive us. Leave us not to hide under our poverty, for it will not be a covering in the day of death. Have compassion on us and stir up the pure loins of our mind. Lord, we are poor, but we're ashamed of our hearts, ashamed of ourselves. We come to Jesus, full of grace and truth. Remember this house of prayer. Remember, our dear friends, the deacons, be gracious to them. Bless them, help them in the public worship. Uphold them in their office. Bless them, be with them. Remember the church, the congregation. Let thy work appear. And bless this house. Bless the ministry of the word here, of thy servants that come. And what we pray for this hill of Zion, we will pray for our churches, our denomination. Oh, revive us in these solemn times. Remember the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies, bless them in their labours. All thy servants on the walls of Zion this night, bless them, be with them, and those that have laboured through the day. Let there be fruit. Remember thy servant again this evening, Lord, at Horeb. Grant him that anointing, that blessing. So, Lord, we pray here and elsewhere for thy people in tribulation, in senior years. Visit their souls where they are. Prepare them for the end of the journey, for the crossing. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering, whether young or old. May these things be for the furtherance of the gospel, May these things truly fall out for us, to be sanctify us and separate us from the world and unto thee. Remember all in middle life, in the heat of the day, to embosom their mind and commit their way. Remember our young people, going forth in life, go before them, open thy hand and provide for them in all things that they need. But bring them to fear thy name, to know thee. Oh, bring them, Lord, to as a throne of grace, to confess their sins, open their eyes, touch their hearts. Bless the Sunday school here and elsewhere. Bless that instruction. Remember the children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Oh, remember widows, widowers, those who plough a lonely furrow, those in distress, those who feel those passing by. Remember each in mercy. Remember in this house every special case this night, every special need, every exercise, every groan. Lord, says David, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. What a mercy. May we know thy eyes upon us. May we know something of thy omnipresence. May we know thou to be all-seeing, all-knowing, omniscient. Oh, may we know thy mighty power working for us. O Lord, do appear. We fall down and plead thy great name. Plead that precious sin-atoning blood. May it be our life. May we know the blood of sprinkling upon us, the life upon us, the atonement upon us, reconciliation upon us, righteousness upon us, the life of the Lamb. O Lord, may our life be hid with Christ in God. In thee, Lord, remember us. Remember all things concerning those things which affect us in the daily pathway, the daily routine. Help us in all difficulties, all tribulation, all sorrows, all cares. We bow. We bow and acknowledge that thou art God. May we ever confess our sins. May we ever own thee just and right in all thou dealest with us. Remember us in the nation. Have mercy on England in these dark, solemn, terrible times. Touch our Queen, our royal house. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Bring us as a nation to repentance. Remember thy one church through the earth. The missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. But there's awful persecution and genocide going on. Any of thy hidden ones, Lord, make a way of escape. We bless thee, Lord, and thank thee for all thy mercies. We do acknowledge mercies. Oh, we do acknowledge. What can we say, Lord? Oh, we thank thee. But oh, we do so want to feel thee near. Oh, we do want to feel thy gracious presence. Oh, we want the nearness of the word, the manna from heaven. Oh, how we need thee, Lord. To be fed on by faith. Thy sayings unto us, thy word unto us, thy grace unto us, we may feed upon it. Oh, have mercy on us, we don't deserve a penny. Oh Lord, we would acknowledge every mercy unto us. And many answers to prayer and help us. Thou art good, but oh, thou dost humble us in the way, thou dost bring us down. It is very necessary to complete dependence, absolute dependence, and a constant waiting at the footstool and at the gates and the doors of thy word. Keep our souls alive. Leave us not to drift. Save us from our carnal reason, our wandering heart. Wash away all our sins. We bless thee, thank thee for all those mercies, those spiritual mercies, the throne of grace, the word of God. The doors of Zion open. A few spiritual friends. Many, many mercies, undeserved. But it's thee we want and thee we bow. Come and help us, we beg. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Anything we may have omitted to ask, do make up in giving. Lord Jesus, bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Now what way do I fall? My hope is in thee. Lord, we have to come with the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thou knowest the keenness of the prayer, the reality. And we have to come with the woman of Canaan. Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, meet with us, meet with us. Holy Spirit, be due in our midst, bring forth the bread of heaven. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we know the angel of thy presence. With us and in our midst, bless the word. We bow, we bow, we bow, with our mouth in the dust. Bless the word. Thou art able. Oh, we plead thy name before the throne and for thy sake. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, I humbly ask, come, come, oh, come, come, amen.
Hymn 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
Thank you.
In complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, and the first words of verse 29. And he said, come. Matthew 14, the first words of verse 29. And he said, come. I said this afternoon in conversation, the hardest way is often the right way. And I would say, for the most part, the right way. And to preach this word this evening is very hard. There is a reason. For I've spoken from it, I think, might be twice in the last couple of months from it. And I had another word with me, an encouraging word, a word of instruction, a gracious word from the Psalms of David, which I thought of, well, meditated or looked up this afternoon. But the conflict began before tea time, and this is the hardest way. This is the hard way. And may the Lord help me. What I don't want is vain repetition. You know, the hymn writer said, didn't he, a memory bad, and what is sad can folly still retain. Thankfully, I don't carry my sermons with me. I don't continue them. We're emptied out at the end of a service. An awful emptiness creeps over. Certainly creeps over me. Well, may the Lord help us. The account is well known. The instruction is to Peter. Let us look at that word. I want to speak of it as an instruction, a word from the Lord. And may only the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can speak it to any heart. And it is the Lord Jesus that speaks to his people as he spoke to Peter. Come. You know, the Lord Jesus, as we know from the context, without going into all the detail, went and departed because of the death of John the Baptist. And obviously, the dear Redeemer felt it keenly. And he saw his own time coming. What they'd done to John, he knew himself he would be slain, crucified. And he fed those 5,000. And then he constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go back over Galilee to the western, or northwestern, or western side of the shore. And he went up in the mountain to pray. I want you to consider it. Christ praying. Jesus praying. Can that be so? The Son of God in glory in his Godhead, he wouldn't have to pray, would he? Would he need to pray? He was one with the Father. He was all-sufficient, almighty. He created the very foundations of the earth. But he was made like unto his brethren, a merciful, faithful high priest. Bless him for it. All be encouraged. Go to him. Go to him. The Lamb of God in prayer. There are, of course, two outstanding prayers of Christ in the Word of God in the Gospels. Two tremendous prayers. One was the Last Supper, following the Last Supper in John 17. Sacred, glorious prayer, heavenly prayer, wonderful prayer. There was another, and it was only a matter of an hour or so afterwards. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly in Gethsemane. There appeared an angel. from heaven to strengthen him. But here we have the Lord praying to his Father. We know not the content, but oh, he knew that path of prayer. As the hymn writer says, the path of prayer himself has trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. And he saw his disciples. If you look in Mark, he beheld them. He looked from the mountain on them. And if we read there, they were toiling in rowing. The wind was contrary. The sea was rough, boisterous. And do you know what it is to be on a journey? The journey Christ put them on. The pathway they should go to the other side. And there he beheld them. It was contrary. The Lord had sent them. He knew he had come to them, but he had sent them. And dear friends, you're on a journey. A journey heavenward, Zionward. Contrary. The wind contrary. Everything below contrary. Opposition. Jesus beheld them. Taught him, friend, he loved his disciples. He wasn't far from them. He might be quite a few miles away up in a mountain, but he knows where they are. He knows where you are. And he went to them, walking on the waves. You know, a tremendous thing. He rides on the storm. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Are you in a storm? Is the sea rough? Is the journey contrary? Is your soul much discouraged? You think of trying to row and getting nowhere. I know what it is off St. Catherine's Point. Gone out too far with my brother Tim. Swimming, not rowing, but swimming. And having to turn back because we were swept wonderfully out into sea. Turn round to come back. And we, I don't know, probably 3/4 of a mile or whatever, it was a long way off. Oh, didn't we struggle? Didn't we struggle? We both of us were quite frightened to get back. They were in the days of vanity, of course. Getting nowhere. You feel you're getting nowhere in the journey with the exercise. The Lord doesn't shine, the Lord doesn't appear. And everything is against us. Jacob said, all these things are against me. Well, they weren't. And Jesus comes on the fourth watch of the night, walking on the sea. What a night it is, the fourth watch, you know. It's not far from morning, and he still hasn't come. And they fear it's a spirit. And they cry out. But the Lord says, oh, that voice, that voice, that voice. Friend, he first says, and it's recorded in the other Gospels, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I sent you on the journey. I bid you, I commanded you. Be of good cheer. The promise stands. What the Lord has said will be performed. It is I. I'm riding on this storm. I knew that storm. I observed you. I saw you. I heard your conversation. I knew your fears. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid, be not afraid. But they were afraid. And, you know, it is the Lord, is it? They cried out, and they knew the voice. But Peter, you know, there's something about Peter. How can I describe it? He loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him. He was, as it were, the leader and spokesman among the little band that followed the Lord. Peter was always the one that spoke, or seemed to always speak. And he made many mistakes. And here he says, hey Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it be thou. Friend, I don't believe it was unbelief. Some would say it was, possibly. I would not argue. I know what my heart's like. Can I trust him?
Is it really him? Can he still have mercy? As I said this morning, receive us graciously. Will he still receive me graciously? Receive us graciously. And dear Peter, but there was love in Peter's heart. Desire. He wanted to be with the Lord. And, oh, to go to him, if it be thou. But there does seem to be a ring there that doesn't seem to be quite right with you, Peter. And there's a lot wrong with us, isn't there? There's a lot of unbelief. If it be thou, bid me come. And he said, come. Before I come back to the text, or come to the text, you know, there's Peter walking on the sea. What mighty power. What grace. What can God do? This is God's power. And Peter, it is easy to say these things, friends, but the reality is, he stepped down and his heart was towards him. We know not how far the Lord was away. They were in hailing distance, obviously. And we think of the noise and the waves. And he goes to him, walking on the waves. You see then, how quickly, friend, when the Lord has spoken to your heart, how quickly does doubt come in? It's not long, is it? It's ever so solemn. It's not long, is it? Doubt creeps in. You begin to doubt. We are creatures of fear. We drag along and fear where no fear is. Peter shouldn't fear. But he took his eyes, and it's easy to say these things. And I don't want to make it sound easy. But the dear Peter, he began to regard the impossibility he was under. And when you begin to regard the impossibility of the Lord's work in your heart, when you see what's within, then you'll begin to sink. And this is the sinking. How can God dwell here? How can this be? How can God dwell in my heart? If you cry out with Rebecca when the Lord spoke to her, if it be so, why am I thus? Why am I like, if grace is with me, if the Lord is with me, why am I like I am? He began to observe the wind and the waves. The wind and the waves. It was the wind that caused the waves. I think I did say this the other week when I spoke from this word. You see, it's the waves that affect us. There's the danger overwhelming the boat or as he's walking on the sea. But it's the wind that is causing it. And he raiseth and commandeth the stormy wind which lift up the waves thereof. He began to regard. Oh, what have you regarded today? You know, there's a very, very wonderful word, a very solemn word. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that means to indulge in it, of course. The Lord will not hear me. But what do we regard? We seem to regard everything but the Lord's work and the Lord's voice and the Lord's leading. And dear Peter, what a pattern we have. And he began to sink. He began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. What a simple prayer. Do you pray that at home? Save me from my fears. Save me from myself. Hymn writer says, save us from the rocks and shelves. Save me chiefly, or save us chiefly from ourselves. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Look, Peter hadn't got little faith. There was grace in his heart. Lord, if it be that, bid me come, friend. And he meant it. I need thee, Lord. Wonderful. Let me come to thee. Let me come. Let me be near thee. Let me walk on this water to thee. Thou walking on the water. And bid me come. And he does come. And he says, come. You see, he had great faith. But he lost it. It became, oh friend, how great faith quickly becomes little faith. Why are our eyes in the wrong direction? Well, dear Peter, you know, if dear Peter could sink before Christ, how does that find us in his immediate presence? But he was to try his heart. But you know, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And the wind didn't cease until they got in the boat. And they still went to the few steps, whatever it was, we don't know, to the ship, to the boat. And then they got in, and the wind ceased. Well, here is a word. Oh dear, I find this so difficult to come and preach tonight. While I stand here, I keep thinking of the psalm. But this is the hard way. This is the difficult way. And he said, come. What authority? Who said it? My thoughts run like this. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him. Draw him. Yet there is a coming. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, or to the disciples, not to Peter, when those departed from him, will you also go away? And Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere else. What a reality. Where will you go? To whom shall we go? That's the words of eternal life. There's no going away, but this is special. This is come. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But you know the Lord, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You won't, having tasted the Lord is gracious, you won't want in your right mind and your spiritual appetites to want any other gospel but the Lamb's, the gospel of the Lamb of God. The sacrifice of Christ, what a sufficiency, what an atonement, a fullness, sins forgiven, blotted out, a fullness. No other gospel, no other wine. You'll never thirst for anything else. You won't hunger for anything else. And when you do begin to taste the bitter, they'll be very bitter. And they'll make your belly sick. And you'll cry out, like dear Peter, save me or I perish. Oh, that the Father, wonderful word, tremendous. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Shall come, you will come, you must come. The point is where, which we want to come to. But come to me at the throne of grace, in the word, in soul exercise, in earnest desires. Friend, given all that the Father giveth me. Wonderful truth, foundation stone. There is the wonders of redeeming election. Redeeming love, electing love, sovereign choice, predestination, determinate decree of God, and you're in it. You're in it. You're coming. You're coming. You've got to come. Confessing, weeping, mourning, fearful. I love those lines of Daniel Hooper. I know it speaks of prayer, the throne of grace. How can I come? Some soul may say, I'm lame and cannot walk. My guilt and sin have stopped my mouth. I sigh, but dare not talk. Friends, we know it only too well. And oh, it's a very solemn thing, but it's a fact. Guilt, shame stop us. They stop our mouth. They cut us short. But there's the groan. You know, the publican, he stood afar off. He couldn't come. But he did come. He felt he couldn't come. He couldn't come. There he was. He couldn't come. He could not up as much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. And he stood afar off and beat upon his chest. and cried, "You think, God, be merciful to me, a sinner?" But he was coming, and he did come. He came. He didn't come to the front of the chapel to be seen of men. His soul, by living faith, pleaded the grace of God the Father, the grace of the Son, the grace of the Spirit. Be merciful. I need mercy. What an awakening. Do you need mercy? Do you know you need mercy? He went down to his house justified. The Lord Jesus tells us in the parable. Come boldly. I know this is the throne of grace, but that's part of the text anyway. Friend, to find, where do you find Christ? In the Word and at the throne of grace. And there he visits the soul. Communion. Those two great blessings. The Word of God. Yes, we could say in the sanctuary. But that's through the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the cross. Friend, it's his Word that's blessed. It's his Word that's blessed. It's not our experiences. It's his Word that becomes life unto us. And you're hanging on to it. You're hanging on to it. You're holding fast to it. And you will have to hold fast to it all your journey through. Though lost and blind and lame, Jehovah is the sinner's friend. Friend, the sinner's friend. Can that be so? I never was the same. He makes the dead to hear his voice. He makes the blind to see. The sinner lost he came to save and set the prisoner free. Come boldly to the throne of grace, for Jesus fills the throne. And those he kills he makes alive and hears the sigh or groan. And he finishes up, doesn't he? For bankrupt souls who feel and know the hell of sin within. And it is a hell sometimes. Friend, what judgments, what despair. I won't go too deeply. Not everyone has the same experience, but I understand Daniel Herbert well. I believe perhaps some here do as well. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The Lord will take you in. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And they will. And to him that cometh unto me, but in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. Let us consider this then a little. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour. Labouring for a blessing. Labouring in prayer for help. Come unto me. You say, but we have come. No, no, friends. No, no, friends. We've had this morning's text. She came to his feet. There she came. By faith. Drawn by love. Will you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here's the instruction. Take my yoke upon you. My binding. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. What teaching? There's the coming. That's why you want to come. That's why you will have to come. Friend, there's no learning at a distance. What we learn at a distance, beloved friends, is the wretchedness of our heart. And Jonah did. But faith looks again. And in that faith and that prayer entering his holy temple, there he draws from Christ. There's the learning of him. His immutability, his unchangeableness. Ever the same. Full of love, full of compassion. Jonah, you're still my son. You're still my son, Jonah. Despite all you are and your peevishness and your rebellion and your rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You've disobeyed my voice. Yet will I look again. Learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord says, come to me in the Word. Come to me at the throne of grace. Come in all humility. Come in all godly sorrow. You know, how do you confess your sins? Can I ask you a question? I'll be pertinent. There are various ways of confessing sins, you know. I said this afternoon, or to someone today, a friend, I think, against thee, thee only have I sinned. It might be your neighbour. It might be your mother or father or children or whatever, Uncle Tom Cobley and all, I don't know. But against thee, oh, the tender heart, the only have I sinned, says David, and done this evil in thy sight. I know there was a particular matter there, and we wouldn't all perhaps be in that particular like sin, but the sins of the heart, and we never cover our sin. The Lord sees it against thee. Wonderful, you know. What an awakening. Well, David knew the Lord. And, you know, it's a terrible thing to think the sin against God. But, friend, it's a great mercy if it's personal. Great mercy if it's personal. There the living waters flow. And the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. It's a solemn thing. Yet under the dew of the divine teaching of the light of the Spirit, to realise the covenant relationship, the grace of the Lord. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. What you learn of Christ, full of compassion, unchangeable, unchanging love. He foresaw the ditches you get into. He foreknew them. He sees the end of the matter from the beginning. He knows how far you'll go astray. He knows the wandering mind. He foresaw it all. Learn of me. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Speaks of obedience, but it's coming unto him. Coming unto him. And Isaiah says, doesn't he, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money, without price, thirsteth. You know, on that last day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Why? There's no other water, friend, but from Christ the fountain. I emphasize, I press you, I warn you, that it must be coming to the Lamb of God as a Redeemer and Saviour, and nowhere else. To whom shall we go? Nowhere else. That glorifies the Father. This is my beloved Son, boomed the Father from glory, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. John the Baptist was raised up by God to point the people to Christ. It is going to him in a personal way, to know him. The apostle said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't want to race over that, but I haven't got time to linger on it for long. Friend, the fellowship of his sufferings. You'll learn what he suffered in your suffering, and you'll learn what he atoned for. Tremendous mercy. Atoned for my sins. These were atoned for. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. But there are those particular things I seem to be drawn a bit just before I came out to this word. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away. In other words, come to me. Come away. Come away. For lo, the winter is past. Do you know the winter? John Newton says, Lord, my winter has been long. I think some of us know that, don't we? Friend, oh, the frozen heart, flinty frozen heart, cold spirit, lifeless, no growth. barrenness, desolation, a winter scene. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. That's the torrential rain, the cold rain, or the snow, if you like. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land, or says turtle, but it's the turtle dove. The fig tree putteth forth a green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Friend, the blessings of the gospel on the, from the tree of life begin to grow. The tree of life, you suddenly discover it sprouting with all its mercy and grace and forgiveness. And the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Where from? Unbelief, fear, heart wandering, self. Self, friends, I must emphasize it. Spirit, well, what can we say? Religious self, religious views, religious understanding, religious wisdom. Draw from me the well of living water. Perhaps there's a word for someone tonight. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away from where you are. Come unto me. Beloved friends, this is following him. This must be following him. In that canon of scripture, the close of it, I should have said that the close of the canon of scripture, we have those words, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And he said, come, come. You know, the Lord speaks like this, doesn't he? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. It's coming to mercy. Friend, it's coming to living waters by faith, as Peter did, and as all have to come. Living faith, forgiveness in Christ, the putting away of sin forever in Christ, the atonement in Christ, eternal life in Christ, to be received from him, drawn from him, discovered in him, his precious atoning blood, his love and grace, his embrace, his drawing mercy. Let us therefore come boldly, boldly unto the throne of grace. Friend, but how can I come boldly to the Lord? Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, he blurted it out. The woman of Canaan, how she came and filled her mouth with arguments. Can you say, Lord, thou hast said? Come unto me for rest, peace. Come, take up thy cross, follow me. Friends, this coming below on the earth to the Lamb of God, it is surely a harbinger, a divine teaching for the final coming to the end of the journey into heaven itself. We don't just come to the Lord as a religious experience on earth alone. It's coming to the King of Heaven, who is now exalted. In fact, you are coming to the Jacob's ladder, And the top is in heaven, and the ministering spirits come up and down the ladder, and there the Lord blesses. Oh, the Lord above the ladder, and it's coming to him, it's coming to him for rest. Come, it's an invitation. The Son of God speaks. But note, Peter asked, he asked if he could. He didn't just go. There's a difference. Peter asked if he could. The Lord Jesus has told us, ask, it shall be given you. Or may we be given grace. We say prayers. I wonder how much of our prayers has a deep exercise. It's right to pray, of course. We always ought to pray. But how much of it is formal? Do you really ask the Lord? Do you say to the Lord, let me live closer? And then you get on with your own pleasures. And we wonder why he doesn't hear. Is there a real drawing in the soul to him? Let me live closer. And it's like Peter asked, bid me come, bid me come. And he did come, and he stepped down. He asked, can I come, Lord? Ask, it shall be given. Lord Jesus, reveal thyself again to my soul. Or, not just again, Lord Jesus, reveal thyself as my Lord and my Saviour. There is a constant coming to him. And he said, come. Oh, may the Lord speak it to some heart, even this evening hour, to draw nigh, to draw nearer. You know, I will repeat that text again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Friends, how much of our coming is formal? We think we're coming. But all to come and to obtain mercy, to obtain help, to obtain grace, to obtain love, to obtain joy, a good eternal hope. Friend, the righteousness of Jesus and the my sins like pointed mountains rise. Do you know it? Put away. Not seen. The Lamb of God seen. And he said, come. Friend, there is a coming to our great high priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Something of the glory of the priesthood of Christ here. Friend, he presents his own merit, his own blood, his own travail for the poor needy sinner coming. 'Tis me, it is him instead of me is seen when I approach to God. When I approach to God, he said, come. Me, do we come? You know, how do we come then? And where do we come? Let's get these things clarified. How do we come? Friend, we come poor. We come with nothing. Nothing. Do you know what it is? Nothing in my hand I bring. We've always got something, haven't we? Holding on to something. Don't let that go. Well, I'm holding on to it. I'm not saying it's wrong to hold on to what the Lord's given us to bless us. We won't ever, it never will go. We won't lose it. But, oh friend, can you leave yourself behind? Can you leave a lot? When we come to the end of the journey, it'll all be left behind. And all that will stand is what the Lord has done for our soul. Nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing. You know, there's two ways of considering past blessings. One is to glory in them and dote on them. God forbid. The other is to plead them. That's the right way. Can you plead what the Lord has said and done for you? Humbly confessing our hopelessness, our helpless case, our shame, our sin, our carelessness, our indifference, and all the rubbish we picked up. Religious rubbish in the way. Nothing in my hand I bring. Come naked. Come poor. Come undone. Why? Fullness. Fullness of grace, a covering, friend, a real covering, a covering, a robe to cover us, our shame, to cover us, the righteousness of Christ to enter glory, a fitness to appear before God, the robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. He said, come. Where will you find it? At Jesus' feet. But where do we come? Where do we come? Well, this word speaks to us, come in the midst of the pathway. In the midst of the pathway, where we are now, as you are, we come by faith. Come by faith in heart to the Lord for all things. Now, I've mentioned prayer. I've mentioned the word, the two vital spiritual provisions and God's house. But it's coming in heart. It's coming to breathe our prayer to him. Omnipresent, Christ omnipresent. Can I preach it? Omniscient, all-knowing. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. All-knowing. Come. Oh, dear friend, is there a following him? Is there that taking up of our cross to follow him? Is there that declaring what he's done for our soul? You know, I don't know how you find it, but what you might think, but when one comes to confess what the Lord's done for their soul, all they can say about themselves is ruined, ashamed, hopeless, carnal, sold under sin, like Paul. But that word, that encouragement, behold the Lamb, the Lord, merciful, spoke to my heart, led me, he led me, he's instructed me. And love draws, as Peter was drawn here. Love draws to follow him. Come, friend, there must be a coming. Now you say, but surely we want the Lord to come to us. Friend, if you look in the word of God, he does come. He comes to where his people is. But we have the Son of God in 2 points here, two different activities. He goes to where they are and he calls men unto him. Look at Bartimaeus, I mentioned him just now. The Lord came past where he was. And then he cried out. Then the invitation was given. Come, come. Arise, he calleth for thee. Grace. Look at the other extreme. The man of Bethesda's pool. Impossible to physically move. 38 years. The Lord came where he was. But Jesus preached, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Now this doesn't mean a physical going. It means a heart going, a heart looking, and a heart beholding. Friend, how solemn. And you know, in John, the Lord Jesus said this, didn't he? Well, to those unbelievers, but I know ye, that ye have not the love of God in you, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Life. Friend, there is a living soul, wants the maintenance of life, the living waters. Where will you find blessing? Where will you find it? Christ only. Now you know that, yet we don't come. We dither around in the word, we're holding back. Come. And he said, come. Well, I will have to leave it now. Oh, I did not want to preach from this word. I mustn't get peevish. But it was plainly made to me as I came here. Got to go with it. I didn't want to. I began to worry. At the end of the afternoon, it began to rise up again. I can't, Lord. I'm not preaching from it. I can't. I've done it before and I'm not preaching from it again. But I've had to. What about that other word? Well, may the Lord comfort me with it. And may he comfort you with a word in season. All I can say to you is, well, I don't know. I should be tried. Did the Lord really bid me? I couldn't escape it. Well, I've delivered it. May God give the increase. And he said, Jesus said, come. Come with your sorrow. Come with your burden. Come with your care. Come with your affliction. Come with your grief. Come with your loneliness. Come with your sin. Come with your wretchedness. Come to me. Come close. Come live upon me. Believe me. Trust me. Look for me. Watch for me. Come. This is an eternal coming. Friend, this is not a temporary coming. This is not a one-off experience. This is a continual coming. Continually coming unto him. Friend, it's a heavenly coming. It's drawn. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Peter, he came. And he made a mess of it, didn't he? And so have you, and you will. But you'll cry, Lord, save me. How many times you had to cry, Lord, save me? And immediately, the Lord hath put forth his hand. And oh, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why do we doubt? And he said, come.
The collections last Lord's Day were £610, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.